Hello and welcome to the call. I'd like to give you a little information about how the call will work and then we'll get started. I'd appreciate it if everyone would kindly hit the *6 buttons on your phone so we can mute all background noises, and that's everyone except our guest. And at the end, I'll take a few questions, and at that time, if you have a question, we'll ask you to push the *6 button so we can hear you. The format for the call is simply that I will interview Cherie McConnell, who will be our first guest in our series for Writing for Fun and Profit. Are you there, Cherie?
I am. Good morning.
Good morning. Okay, and then when we're finished with the interview, I'll open the lines for questions. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Dotsie Bragel. I'm the founder of the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, which can be found at nabbw.com, and boomerwomenspeak.com, which are the number one sites on major search engines for baby boomer women. I am passionate about educating and empowering my generation of women. And since launching Boomer Women Speak 5 years ago, I have been connecting, encouraging, and supporting boomer women on a daily basis. I have my finger on the pulse of this spirited generation, and I dedicate a great portion of my time to creating opportunities to inspire women to explore their passions and live them to the fullest. Our sites are actually sponsored by Dolans.com, so if you're interested in excellent financial information that will encourage you to live a more financially responsible midlife, we recommend that you visit their site, which can be found at dolans.com. And we're also sponsored by Elations, which is a daily drink supplement that offers relief for joint aches and pains that really works. It's an alternate way of taking care of those arthritic joints by drinking something as opposed to swallowing pills, and you can find them at elations.com, E-L-A-T-I-O-N-S.com. Okay, if you're not a member of the NABBW and you're listening in today, the fee to join is typically $75, but if you're on the call and you're not a member and you would like to join, we'll give you the reduced rate for $60, and you can email me for that link at dots@nabbw.com. Okay, this teleseminar is one of our many archived in the members-only section at NABBW. All of our past teleseminars, and there's about almost 50 now, are free when you join us, and you can either listen to them or print them and read them at your convenience when you're away from the computer. So I just like to get started because we really try to have very beneficial, very jam-packed teleseminars with great information that can help you make the changes you need to change. Cherie, are you there?
I am.
Okay. I'm going to just tell you a little bit about Cherie, and then we're going to jump in with our topic for today. Cherie McConnell is the president and founder of two global organizations. If you entered the call late, would you be kind enough to push *6 to mute all background noises? I hear a little bit of wind or something in one of the calls. Her organizations are the National Association of Women Writers and also the International Association of Web Entrepreneurs. She teaches women writers and entrepreneurs how to discover, create, and profit from their intellectual knowledge. She's also the owner of two high-level product and consulting companies. One is Create Your Group, and the other one is My Millionaire Friends. For more information on each of these companies, you can download her full-color company catalog at Cherie McConnell, and that's Cherimcconnell.com, all one word. She lives in San Antonio, Texas, with her husband and their four children, a weenie dog, and two cats. Well, hello, Cherie, and again, welcome to the call. How are you today?
I'm doing wonderful, and thank you so much, and very active house with that lineup, huh?
Sure. For those of you who entered the call late, Cherie is excited because she is celebrating a week without her children. They're at the grandparents, so she's getting all kinds of things accomplished this week.
Yeah, I hear they're being angels, but I know that's a fib.
Okay, for some of you on the call, you're interested in building your brand, you're interested in maintaining your reputation in the area of expertise in your chosen field. And so Cherie is here to tell us how we can do that by authoring a book and getting that published. So Cherie, if you want to start by just, is there anything you want to tell us before we jump into these questions? Anything new and different? Any offer, anything that you want to talk about?
Well, first of all, I mean, I've got some personal stories, just, you know, different from any time anyone may have heard me speak about this topic before, just about, you know, I'm always, as an owner and a CEO of my company, my job is to book talented people and bring them to my members. And one of the ways that I do this is always finding these people via books that they've had out into the world, sometimes books that were published 10 years ago. Had a lady on for Journalation earlier this year, and that book was out quite a long time ago. So it's amazing the long-term leverage that you'll have from a book that you put out into the world, and we'll kind of get into that. And then recently, I just put a book out. A couple weeks ago, we had a huge promotion around it. Sold a lot of books that day.
Wait a minute. Do you know what? Excuse me. I hate to interrupt, but if anyone entered the call late, would you please push *6 to mute background noises? I'm hearing quite a bit of noise here. Okay, go ahead. Try again.
And thank you for muting everyone. I'm looking to hear all the juicy details. But what I can tell you just from the way that this builds your brand, and I'll get into this a lot here in a second, but just from that book promotion, people who've seen me on their radar over the years, because of the amount of experts and partnerships we had on that page, they saw me in a new way that day. They saw me they saw the power of my brand that day because of all of those partners I had partnered with to put that book out into the world. And so there's a lot of success even behind the scenes that you don't really see from that book promotion. People approaching me, having me on radio shows and doing podcasts, all because of the brand that we were very conscious that we were putting out and was part of our strategy. So often when I'm, you know, asked the question, which way should I publish and all these lovely things at the National Association of Women Writers, I really do have to have a conversation with that person or speak with that person one-on-one, because I really have to get into their head and learn what their goal is with each of these books. But what I find with business people right away, they are doing these books to build brand. This works really well with nonfiction, of course. And that's the particular topic that I'm here to talk about today, is how these books can be leveraged in so many different ways for decades to constantly build your brand and bring more leads into your business, into your marketing funnel, which increase your bottom line.
Okay, and I might add here that Cherie has done a teleseminar with us before, and it was about making this decision on which way is the best way for you personally to get published. So if you're a member of the association, that is archived on the member benefits page. You might be interested in hearing that too, because that was an excellent teleseminar, and a lot of people get caught up in deciding how to publish, and she really walked you through it, talked about your personality type, what your purpose was for writing the book, and you know what you wanted to get from it. And so I think it would be, if you're interested, you might want to listen to that too. But let's get on with talking about building your brand by writing a book. and Cherie, can this at all entertain fiction also?
You know, I mean, you can certainly build a following. I think it's a little bit different. Mm-hmm. You know, once you get a fiction book out there and people love that, you can do a series of fiction books. And you know, for people writing fiction, publishers who want to publish their fiction usually want to know that you have a series inside you ready to come out, because that's more profitable for them down the road. But definitely the way that I'm presenting this today does focus on nonfiction.
Okay. I just wanted to kind of point that out before we got started. All right. Tell us a little bit about the importance of writing, you know, your book to enhance your brand.
Definitely. Well, it does a number of things. First of all, it lets your clients or your future customers, or these people that you want to get to know and make connections with, it lets them get a taste of who you are, your services, your, you know, what makes you tick, what makes you unique, and it lets them do that at a very low price point. So, for instance, the book we just published, Smart Women Create Membership-Based Businesses, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people purchased that book who were not comfortable with starting the relationship with me by purchasing the program, which is a $1,500 program for obvious reasons. But they're completely comfortable with risking $18 of their money to begin that relationship with me. So it lets, lots and lots of new leads that book will end up converting thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars of revenue in the upcoming year because we were able to start a relationship. So it lets them taste who you are or what you're about at a very low price point, and it's excellent for getting people into your marketing funnel. Now, at any point, if you want me to explain what marketing funnel is or anything like that, I can do that, but I'm just going to kind of move quick because there's a lot of information to cover. It positions you as an expert, too, so it helps you stand out and compete against the competition. Had a number of people approach me from this book that they had seen my name many, many times, but they now understood how I stand out, what I'm the expert of. And so they were able, when you do the work for the people out there in that you're building a brand and you get really strategic with what your brand stands for, it makes it easy for them to think of you as that person that does that, and that's really what you're doing when you're building a brand. Thirdly, it can be used as a sales tool. If you purchase Create Your Group in the past, what this book is doing is marketing people to purchase that program. So it's pretty much a whole entire book where you get to know me at a great depth, a lot longer than a teleseminar because you're reading the entire book. And so it really builds that relationship very strong for a person going to buy that program. So it definitely is a sales tool. I've even seen people take nonfiction books. They do a lot in the industry now, where they'll put free passes or coupons in that book to upsell them to, for instance, a large teleseminar they're doing. T. Harv Eker does this. Mark Victor Hansen does this. Robert G. Allen does this. And so they're definitely, in that sense, those books, like 1 Minute Millionaire, it's definitely a sales tool that's really just upselling them to those large events and other services and products that they have. So in that way, these books start the relationship and begin to educate new leads, new consumers about the brand that they have.
Okay, now can you speak a little bit to people who might not have those products and this book really is, their first venture into this?
Definitely.
Yeah, just a little bit about that, because I think some of the people on the call might not have the bigger programs that it's an introduction to, but it's still really important. So can you talk a little bit about that?
What I would have that person do, if that person is you today, I would have you meet with someone, because what you're doing when you put that first book out into the world, even if it's traditional publishing or self-publishing, you are beginning a business. And so you really need to get some business coaching. You need, before you put that book out into the world, and before you begin to plan that book, especially if you're doing this as self-publishing, you need to invest in a professional who will do long-term strategy with you. Because of the way that we did long-term strategy in birthing this book and bringing my latest book into the world, it's going to bring in over six figures within the next year just from a book. So it's very crucial that you invest and realize that this is a business, whether you're putting out your first book and you don't have any other products. You can create other products and other services from scratch, and doing a simple couple sessions with a coach or a consultant. You don't want to miss the chance to have that kind of information in your book so that you can bring all those leads back to your website, because customers will do whatever you tell them to do next.
Right. And it also introduces you into the world of speaking about your topic, doing teleseminars about your topic. I mean, it just launches many other things if the book is the first thing.
Correct. And so I would actually have people map out a strategy of products and services, get the book out into the world, and you can be working on products and services while the printers are doing their thing. And you can start out with a very minimal set of a product, another product, the book, another service. Your marketing funnel, your product and service funnel can be very minimal in startup. You can have just four things. And most people can get that done in a six-month period.
Okay, very cool.
If they're treating it like a business.
Right. And it's all a mindset. Okay, how about if we talk a little bit about the keys to getting started in just authoring this book? What are some of the things we need to do if we're thinking about it and just really haven't begun the process?
Definitely. Well, and what I do over, you know, at the National Association of Women Writers is exactly what we help with there, and it's supporting people in different ways. People come to us either to write, to publish, or to market the book they already have. And what's really crucial in helping them accomplish one of those three goals is support and resources, accountability, and then the ability to promote. So finding support groups like the National Association of Women Writers, finding that accountability, getting a writing partner, getting a coach, getting a consultant to give you homework and show up for you each week so that you get these things done. That accountability, for me, has always been what helped my businesses move forward. So accountability for me was creating a company where people were expecting me to deliver my writing to them. That was my accountability. I said every year we're going to have a new book, so every year I had to come up with a new book. You know, so those were kind of the accountability pieces, and I still do that myself today. You know, this year I said I'll have a book out in June, and come, you know, March, April, I had to start clearing the calendar to make sure that I was going to reach that June goal. So you'll get better and better at creating your own accountability, but definitely in the beginning years, I had to have people hold me accountable.
Sure, and that can be done whether you have money to invest or not. Tell us some ways that if you have money to invest, you can do it, you know, with the coaching. And, you know, if you don't have that money, another way to do it with, like, a friend, et cetera.
I mean, there's definitely writing coaches. What I've come to see in all the years that I've been doing this is that people will, if they invested money in it, they'll get it done better than if it's a friend, because they don't want to lose their money. They value money. And people may say they don't have money, and 20% of the time that may be the case. But most of the time, if people want the goal, they have the money. They just have to pull it from somewhere else. So it depends on whether they want all these other things in life more than they want to reach this goal. So I don't, you know, you can certainly do this if you have enough drive, but it really comes down to you get what you pay for. And if you're not paying for some of the advice that you really need, you're going to make lots of mistakes along the way that are going to cost you more than if you had just invested in it. So I feel really strongly that most people, you know, 85% of the people can find the money to reach these goals. They're just, you know, and this, you know, I've coached women for a long time, and really what happens is women just aren't grown up with the mindsets of leverage very, you know, men come out of the womb and know how to leverage their mothers right away. Women are the ones being leveraged in our society, and so women just don't really have the mindset around money that helps them grow their businesses and put, you know, and especially put a book out into the world that's competitive that will get them the results they can get if they just do it the right way. So I really work with women all the time on getting them to change their mindsets around investing in themselves and investing in their businesses for the long term, and to do things that are honestly quite uncomfortable to get there, which means putting more money than they ever thought they could into a part of their business or to their book, because that's what is going to get them the results they tell me they want. You know, they're amazed by how much it costs to get a good cover design for a book, but the covers sell the book, you know. So there's just some pieces that it's okay, and what I always tell my clients when I'm working with them, I honor where you're at this time. Let me tell you how you're going to have to start thinking whenever you're ready for these things to happen that you're telling me that you want.
Right. And actually, you know, coaching is becoming so huge, especially with the Internet. You can find coaches for anything. And really what they do is they cut your learning curve tremendously, because you're being coached by someone who's been there and done what you've done, and sometimes taken many years to get the expertise that they have. And then in addition, you know, they really hold you accountable. So it is definitely something worthwhile and worth looking into. All right, anything else about the keys to getting started?
Let's see. One way, there's a couple of tricks that I like to do. First of all, if you're just wanting to trick yourself into getting this work done, because if you're having a hard time getting it to be priority in your life, the other ways is doing interviews. Those are a great jump start for me. For instance, remember when I put Create Your Group together, and it was two manuals. I can't believe I ever wrote that much straight through. And the way that I got jump started to write two full manuals of information was I started with all the interviews. And I think you were one of the first interviews I did.
Yeah, I remember that, sure.
And your interview was the next day, and I still hadn't written the questions that ended up being my table of contents for the entire program. So what I can tell you is that by scheduling interviews for nonfiction, it's a great way to start doing that research. And what happens from those interviews, you'll get so much energy, you'll be able to move forward in the project a lot faster. So it's a great trick.
Mm-hmm.
Because from those interviews, I turned around and took that the questions I asked you and formed the table of contents, and then I was off and running and just had to get it done. Actually, from that, I also did a sales page and sold like 14 of those before I ever even wrote the product. So that's another way you can get really motivated is you can sell, you know, that's a $1,500 program. So I was definitely motivated to get it done when I told everybody I would have it done. So doing pre-sales or doing, you know, it depends if you go traditional. Obviously, you're not going to have
right,
some of those options.
Right.
But, so lots of ways to make sure that you have accountability or trick yourself into getting it done.
Okay,
so those are the keys.
Yeah, very good. And you know what? The next question is actually, I know you're going to sum it up, but if you're really interested in this piece of publishing, this is where I recommend the other teleseminar that I've done with Cherie, because this has to do with the options for publishing. Do you want to do e-publishing, vanity publishing, self-publishing, collaborative publishing, traditional publishing, et cetera? There are so many options today just because of technology. And do you want to tell us a little bit about those options and you know, why it's important to seriously consider before you really get into your project?
You know, what I'll do, because we've got so much other stuff to spend on and because we've covered this before, is I'll point out that we have that 30-page handout over at naww.org, and it's free, and they can grab that, and it does go into all that in detail. And then one thing I would say to everybody, the aha to take away on this section, is that I don't believe people can make a wrong choice. I believe it, whichever way you go in publishing, there are pros and cons of each, and you're going to reassess the experience, and you're going to probably want to do the other one no matter which way you go. So I have lots of partners and members who've gone traditional that go self-publishing later on. I have lots of people who went self-publishing and go traditional. They have different financial models, and at different points in time, you're going to actually want to do a different financial model. I've gone to a small traditional publisher to handle all my publishing now, which is very different than I was in the early years, as, you know, NAWW is considered a self-publisher. So over time, your strategy with your business will change. So it's just really education and personal choice at given different periods in time.
And doesn't a lot of it have to do with your own personality, too, though, and how much control you need over your work and how much control you're willing to give up?
Well, it has, and so instead of the word personality, which is totally true, too, it has to do with your mindsets.
Okay.
Completely, your mindsets drive your success at anything you do. And what I mean by that is all those little bullet points that you just said, what you're willing to give up, your ability to build a team, your ability to be able to invest in quality and see the long term. You know, but there's lots of mindsets that we fight that are right in our close network, like our family.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes we're trying to work on our own mindsets really, really hard, but we're surrounded by people who are so far behind us. So that can be a very big struggle for lots of people that I help them build boundaries around themselves while the other people are catching up, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does, because people have to realize that it's okay to make changes before other people do, and you know, within their network. And a lot of time, the professional networks are really, you know, who you can look to for guidance and stuff, and try to follow them instead of some of the old thoughts about family. If you were raised in a family that says, oh, gosh, you have to get everything on sale, you really shouldn't pay for this, then when you go to get help like this, you're thinking, okay, shouldn't pay for this, I'm going to try to get this as cheap as I can, and really that's not always the way to go. So, all right, so you can go to naww.org, and what is the title of this 30-page download that they can get, Cherie, just so they know?
It's the publishing primer, and so it's the only freebie that you can get right there in the sidebar. It's on every page.
Okay, all right, that's good. And that will help you make a decision about which way you should go at this point in time in your life and in your career, profession. All right, let's talk about, because this is huge, because we review books for our members at the National Association of Baby Boomer Women, we post them in our newsletters, and then we also, of course, post them on our sites, and they stay on the site as long as you're a member of the association. And because we do that, I correspond with a lot of women writers. A lot of members of the association happen to be writers, and they're joining to network with other members to promote their books, et cetera. One of the things that authors don't always comprehend and really grasp when they write a book is, you know, writing the book is one thing, marketing it is another. And so I know that you can share some simple strategies on book marketing that can help those on the call attract, like, ideal clients and receive a return on their investment. So can you talk about that a little bit?
Definitely. So first of all, you know, packaging and communication is so important. First and foremost, start your website, build a website around this with that website, or I personally love blog sites because it's so web too. Oh, sorry, that's my Twitter beeps going off.
But, okay.
What websites let you do is start to build a community around that particular book. And they give you plenty, especially blog sites, give you plenty of space to grow and to adapt that website should you begin to have many books in you or other strategies. Again, it's great if you can map out the strategies ahead of time, at least for a year ahead. But so you're going to need to embrace technology, invest in yourself, and the new mindset is marketing is what you're in business doing now. You're not a book writer. You're not a writer at all. You're not a publisher. You're not all these other things that you previously thought of yourself. You are now a marketer. And you, in the first few years, you are a marketer, get this, 85% of the time. That freaks people out, and especially mm-hmm. people who aren't comfortable with it. If you want the results that people communicate to me that they want, that is the way that business works, always has, always will. So that's a key mindset. So those are just some of the pieces that those mindsets kind of have to be installed before you can go and do all these tasks. These tasks are the packaging, the website, the building of the list. The list is crucial. The list is king. The list is what I call everybody's golden egg because it's the way that you start the relationship, and then everything you do from the point of that subscriber becoming your subscriber is building on that relationship. And so you always want to be focused on your list, not on selling the book, not on selling anything. You're just focused on getting them on your list, which you saw me just do an example of that when I said, you know, we have this free 30-page primer on the publishing industry as it stands today. It's great for people to read if they don't know which way they want to go. It has these questionnaires in there, and it's an excellent way to start to build a list for anybody new who needs that information. So some of the other key ways that you're going to market your book is speaking. Online marketing campaigns work so well, especially if you saw something like what I did a couple weeks ago at smartwomenbook.com. What you won't see on the website if you go there today was that the original website for the day that we launched the book and promoted it had about 30 people who gave free bonuses if you purchased that book that day. What that was is it was an amazing call to action for people. If they were even thinking of getting the book, they were going to go ahead and get it that day because they got all those bonuses that day. The call to action was that it ended at the end of the day. Still a great book and for an $18 price level. And so it really gets a jump start for that promotion, gets a lot of other things happening. It's a great way to launch a book. Those are typically known as the Amazon campaigns. Most of the time people link those over to Amazon and have people purchase there. So speaking, doing that consistently while you're building your list. I use speaking as a list builder also. When I'm going to conferences, I'm not there to sell, although that definitely happens a lot now because people see me usually before they get to the conference. But in the early years, when no one knew who I was just building my list. I was getting out there, and the more I got out there, the more people started to know that the National Association of Women Writers existed, which is how I marketed my books, was through my business. And so that would be the next point. Start something bigger that your book is a part of. Because of the supply and demand of books in the world at this given point in time over the last decade, because technology allows so many people to get their book out into the world that wasn't the way it was 15 years ago, we have a lot more supply to choose from when we purchase a book. So I knew right away when I went out into this industry, you know, that was just beginning to get on the internet, that I could struggle and I could do it the way everybody else is doing it, or I could do it a little bit different. So I packaged all my books in a business model that not everybody was doing. So, for instance, you could start a company or an organization and make your book be part of that. That's a big thinking. I call that a big thinking business model. And if you're interested in that, you can go to createyourgroup.com and read about it there. But there's so many different strategies and ways that I'm talking about here. What that comes back to, again, is the packaging. And so your packaging is so, so important. It usually takes people who've been doing this for a while to brainstorm with you and really help you develop some packaging around how this book is going to be placed in your overall vision of what you want to do in the world, what your passion is. Usually when someone's writing the book, they have an idea that they want to do a workshop series, or they want to get out and meet with certain people, or they can just envision that there's other things in them that are going to come out. And so that's what I'm talking about, you know, pulling the whole package and the whole strategy together. Let's see. The other way to really use online and offline and tie that together is long-term content sharing through products and services. So for instance, you can do email series, a telecourse, teleseminars, and these different vehicles will direct people back to your website, and eventually they'll buy the book because you're building a longer-term relationship with them. For instance, we have a quote of the day over at the National Association of Women Writers. And at the end of every quote, every single day, you know, those people give me permission to come and visit them every day and say, hi, we exist. At the end of every quote, we have a little link that says, you know, it upsells membership benefits at NAWW. And in that membership benefits is a book. So there's lots of different ways to packaging it, and it just really goes back to the packaging and how you're walking your customer through your system of what you're doing at your website.
Wow, that's a lot. Now, Sheree, let me ask you this. What do you recommend for women writers who are launching a website as far as a domain name? Because I know a lot of people differ on this. Some people go with the title of the book. Other people go with the author's name. And I've always encouraged women to use their name as opposed to the title, because if it's the first book, then you don't want to have to keep creating more websites. However, I know some people do that. But is it what do you recommend?
You know, it depends on where you're at with your company and or companies. Mm-hmm. So what will happen is, first of all, you're going to have to redo whatever website you do every 2 years. The technology changes so fast that in 2 years you look completely outdated. So what I tell people is, don't get stuck on anything that you do. It doesn't have to be perfect when it gets out there, because before you can get it perfect, it has to change again anyway. So be willing to just get things going. You always want to buy your name. What that'll end up being down the road as you do more and more things in the world is that'll be like your headquarters.
Right. So for those people who might not understand what you said, buy your domain. Do you want to explain that?
And then I'll go back to that in a second. The other piece is that I also buy the name of the book for the marketing campaigns themselves. Because what I couldn't do, for instance, as you get more books in you or more workshops or more anything, you can't target them on your homepage of your main company, because that's an overview of everything you're doing. So you really do have to go and buy these additional URLs. I have hundreds and hundreds of them, for different things that we've done, different things that we continuously do. And the reason you have to keep doing that is because each project is very, very focused. So we had to buy Smart Women Book for that promotion, and it just is a one-page URL. Just, you know, that it doesn't go to a website. It's just that page.
Right.
And it's very targeted, because it actually talks to you when you read it. You know what you're going to. We buy other URLs for other reasons. For what I told you earlier about going and downloading that report, I can also send you to www.nawwfreereport.com.
Mm-hmm.
And see how it's much easier for you to get there by going to nawwfreereport.com?
Right, right.
When you get there, you only have one choice. You can't mess up. The consumer can't get confused. So it's much better for me to send you there than it is to send you over to the website for list building reasons. So each of these pages has a strategy. The way that we buy our URLs and the way most people buy them is we just use GoDaddy.com.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Really, really cheap. And then you can keep all your URLs in one place. So I don't buy them through our host. Our website host, this gets kind of technical, because we want to be able to manage them all in one place. And so we keep them separate. We keep them all at GoDaddy. GoDaddy's great because you can point whatever URL you buy to a page on your website, which will usually have a long name, because as you add pages to your blog or your website, the names get forward slashes and all these lovely things in them. And so you really want to keep the forward slashes out of a URL when you're marketing, because the longer it gets and the more you add to it, it increases the chances that people will never type it right or find you or remember it.
Right, right. And with all of these different URLs, different domain names, you can link them within all of your sites. So that's just another thing that you have to remember, that once you start building your list, you can use, like you probably use your blog page, but you have links to lots of your other sites from that blog page, right?
Yeah, I have 5 blogs.
Yeah, so I just want people to understand that, you know, you can connect them. Like at Boomer Women Speak, we have a link to our sister site, NABBW, and NABBW, we have a link to Boomer Women Speak. So
you want to cross-promote everything that you're doing.
Right, that's right. Okay, what about, this is a good one, how do you get your book written, yet manage your busy professional and personal life? Now, for some people, maybe they don't have a busy professional or personal life, and it's not a problem. But for many people who are writing nonfiction and doing it for business purposes, they're working full-time, and then they're trying to squeeze in writing a book. So you want to give us some ideas on how to go about that?
I can, and I think I'm an authority on this because I have children ranging from ages 2 to 13, and there's 4 of them. So, and I'm running 4 companies. When I say that, though, I have a team of people that I delegate a lot to. So I spend about 5 hours a day working. So it doesn't sound as bad when I tell you how much time I'm spending. But what I can tell you is that there's a lot, you know, by the time I get done with all the kids stuff and the 5 hours of work, I'm exhausted a lot of days because the kids have so much that I have to do with them. And the way I'm able to do this and still get these big, huge projects out that have huge payoffs for me personally and professionally is I do a number of things. So first of all, I still time, days, hours, and minutes. And the way that I do that is I set boundaries with the family. That's gotten much, much easier after those beginning years.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, the dog and the cat are starting to play.
That's okay.
Getting kind of frisky over here. But so what I had to do to get to those goals that, you know, you'll have a phase of time where you feel like you just want that goal, like getting a book written, and you just can't make it happen, not with the current state of where your life is. You have to get kind of, you know, really strict. You have to develop a discipline. So for me, what it was communicating with that support system that I have what I needed them to do so that I could steal time, steal a weekend away, which is huge when you have 4 kids. It's huge for a lot of people, and lock myself away so I could focus just on that goal. For me, that's what works. A lot of people, they just don't see that they can do that. But the one reason I think it works really well with writing is because I believe your brilliance has to be paid attention to, and when you stop and start, you stop the energy flow of brilliant ideas coming in, you stop the energy flow of one thought leading to the next thought. I don't think stopping and starting is effective, but some people have just been doing that for so long, they really feel that way works. So what I would encourage you to do is be open to both methods and trying them both, but really trying them and giving them that time. So what I do to my, you know, in my world is 2 or 3 times a year, I get a 3-day weekend, lock myself away in a hotel, do food service, take the laptop, and I get most of these books written in that period of time. I come back, I have to do, like, you know, 3 more sessions of editing over the next few weeks. We have to go into book cover design and a bunch of other pieces. So the whole project can definitely take a couple months, but none of the project can happen if you don't get your stuff written first. You got to get those first drafts on paper. And so for me, you know, and it's not like I go there and it's really easy. The back is aching because you're writing for 3 days straight, you know, so I take bubble baths, you know, and I reward myself with sushi and stuff. You know, so that's what I've learned really works for me. So be experimentative in playing around with what works. Mm-hmm. You're going to need a support system, so you're going to need childcare. You're going to need the house cleaner. You know, I had to be coached to hire my first house cleaner. I had a huge mindset hang up in that if I hired a house cleaner, my kids were going to grow up spoiled, you know, because we all come from different mindsets, and that was the mindset that I was in. And just, I had to get over that because as we had more children, it was just too unrealistic to think I was going to be able to keep up with all this myself. Something was going to have to give. So get your support system, still your time. Another thing that works is scheduling it in. Like if you're a consultant or a person who offers services in exchange for money, schedule your writing time in like it's a client appointment. You know, all my writing projects are blocked out in Outlook so that I don't schedule people in. I don't schedule, you know, a 20-minute meeting here with someone that wants to talk to me and partner with me. If people have to wait 2 weeks to meet with me, that's typically what will happen because I've got time scheduled in for projects that have to be done. So blocking out time on your calendar, I love Outlook for this because inherently you're not going to get everything done every day, especially in startup. And so what can be really good is that drag-and-drop feature saves you loads of time. You can actually click on things in Outlook and put notes in there. So it's just a great tool to manage your life and your businesses and save you lots of time. It's kind of a little side note.
Yeah, Cherie uses Outlook Express to do that. And, you know, I just want to recommend a book called Time to Write. It's by Kelly Stone. It's a new book. Actually, I believe we're reviewing it in our newsletter this month. She's a member of the association, and she wrote this really good book about finding time to write. And what she did, a lot of her book is based on interviews that she held with very successful writers, and she incorporates their ideas and how they find time to write in a busy schedule. So I just thought I'd throw that in there. It's called Time to Write by Kelly Stone.
Well, and I love that because what she's going to do is give different ideas. Perfect book. People need that book because different things are going to work for different people based on their lifestyle. They may not, you know, they may be a single mom. They may not have the option of the husband to watch the kids for them.
Right, exactly. Now, is she a member of your association? Do you know?
We're too big. I can't remember.
I'm going to have to make sure that she is if she isn't and tell her that you would also recommend that book. Okay.
I miss the early days because I actually knew everybody by name in the early years, and now we're so big, I definitely can't do that anymore.
Right. We're coming towards the end, and then hopefully we'll be able to take a couple questions. But what about some tips that will help you get started authoring your book in the next 30 days?
I love this question because I think when you have energy from something that you're doing, you should get started right away, get something on paper. So number one, I always tell people they need to seek the knowledge. They need to get that expert advice just to get started, just to get some accountability, which is number two. You need accountability. Find a group or a structured program that has some deadlines set around getting something done. And then number three, be ruthless with time and set those boundaries. You know, and editors and mastermind coaching can be really, really amazing for polishing, but before you can get to them, you got to get something on the page.
And, you know, Cherie, there's a woman in the forum community at BoomerWomenSpeak.com who recently started a writing book. A writing group. It's something she always wanted to do. She is tickled because she just said, you know what, we just encouraged her, just do it. And so she put this thing in the local newspaper. She found a place for everybody to meet, and sure enough, plenty of people showed up. They had to close the group, and she is now doing something she always wanted to do, and she's being held accountable for her writing. They're sharing their writing. They're editing one another's work. And had she just never taken that initiative, she'd still be way back like, oh, gosh, one of these days. So I always encourage women to do something bold. And Prill Boyle is a woman who's written a nice book about women at midlife and kind of reinvention. And she encourages women to do something bold each day. And I just think that is very empowering. So it's not just, you know, something that you've done before and you just want to do it again. It's something out of the ordinary, bold, that you've been wanting to do and you just need to do to take your life in a different direction. It is incredibly empowering. And then you find out that you can do this, and then it just encourages you to continue to take more bold steps. And that's what you have to do to get a book published. You've just got to be bold in many areas. I mean, you've got to be bold by saying no to your family and friends. I can't do this. I've had this time scheduled, and you have to protect your time. And you just really have to, some writers say, put your butt in the chair and just do it. So any other tips before we take questions on how to get this started and how to follow through and end up with a book?
You know what, I would want to sum up just saying that anything that you want in this world, each and every one of you, I could, you know, meet you face to face, and I know that this is true. Anything that you want in the world, that creation starts from within you, and you have the ability right now to put that creation out into the world, and you were actually made for that at a very organic level. You were made to create, and every talent and thing and word and thought that comes into you was meant to be out in the world and shared. So I just really empower you to go through the process, to go through the ups and downs, go through the journey of getting that to happen. Everything we discussed today was kind of technical, and it was about investing in your business and all this other stuff. Kind of put that aside and really dig into what you got to get out in the world. Whatever happens in that process, it's going to be a learning journey. You're going to be so grateful you did it, even the scary pieces. And what will happen is, like you said, energy will beget energy, and it will get easier and easier to get further along and move forward.
Absolutely. And, you know, it makes me think of my friend who is in her 40s and always wanted to run a marathon, and darn if she didn't train and run it this past year. And that sense of accomplishment was tremendous for her. And then she was like, oh, gosh, if I can run a marathon, what else can I do? So, like, just like you say, you know, the energy continues to flow, and really we just need to be encouraged and feel empowered to continue on these journeys and continue to make a difference for the good of others, which I think is what it's all about. So, if anyone's on the call that wants to ask a question, I know sometimes it takes a couple minutes for people to ask, but you have to push *6 so we can hear you. So if anyone has a question, now's the time to ask of Cherie.
You know, while they're doing that, I was just going to point out that if anyone did decide that they wanted to plug into the benefits over at the National Association of Women Writers for some of that support, you know, and if you already have a book, we let all of our members promote on our blog, et cetera, et cetera. And we're #2 on Google for women writers.
Ooh, what good.
I wanted to make sure they knew where the discount was, if that's okay.
Sure, go right ahead.
So the normal dues for NAWW for a year for 12 months is $127. And if you use this discount link, then it saves you $27. So it is at www.sm-save.com. And that's different from our website. We do a bunch of savings with the number of companies that I earn, so you'll actually be taken to the headquarters there. You can also get that if you want to do a survey, if you just go to the National Association of Women Writers, and that's at naww.org. And right there in the sidebar, you'll see take our survey, and you can get the link and save that way too. So either place, just depends. Sometimes people don't want to do a survey to get the discount. So if you want to share your thoughts and answer those questions in the survey, you can do it that way too.
Okay, and Cherie, do you want to say that first web address again, the SM, and that's probably for Cherie McConnell, right?
Right.
Okay, so it's S as in Cherie, M as in McConnell. Okay, go ahead.
SM-save.com.
Okay, very good.
Another example of a URL I was telling you about.
Right. Okay, I don't know that anybody has any questions. I think it was very thorough, and I'm really happy to share this audio link with women who weren't on the call, and then also we transcribe our teleseminars so they can also be printed and read away from your computer. And so, you know, I'm sure women will be tuning in and doing that as soon as we share the link with our readers in the upcoming member updates. So I just want to thank you so much for being on the call. Thank you for all that information jam-packed within the hour. And unless you have anything else to say, I think we're just going to say, you know, thanks again and enjoy your time.
Well, and thank you so much for everything you do. I always love connecting with you, and I can't wait to see you again soon.
Okay, sounds great. All right, thanks, Sheree.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.